There is nothing worse than untapped potential. If you know that you're made for more, this is the place. I know that every successful person I've ever met has one thing in common. They do not let themselves fall victim to their circumstances. They figure out a way to rise above it. So join me on this journey where I help you to be better, do better, and have better in life and in business. If you're feeling stuck and you're needing some practical tools, some hope to get you to that better life, this is definitely the place for you. Hey, 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 everybody. Welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. I am your host, LaShelle Weamy, and today I get a chance to talk to my friend, Zen Fiskin. You guys, we met a few months ago, and I could not get over just how amazing this woman is, and I knew that I needed to bring her story directly to you. So, Zen, welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. She is a master mindset coach, which is all fancy for all kinds of cool stuff, and I can't wait for her to tell us about that. But first, I just want to say welcome.
Thanks so much, LaShelle. I'm so glad to be here. So glad to see you.
I know. We live across the country. So this is great. Thanks for technology, right?
Amen.
Okay. So I would love for you to tell us exactly what is a master mindset coach and how is it that you're impacting the world today?
Well, it's really kind of funny because I'm really a pioneer in coaching. I started in 1992. I'd had an ad agency and got wound up so stressed that I wound up in the hospital. And I took a year off and jumped off the side of my life and lived on the island of Grenada. And when I came back to the States, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew it wasn't advertising. And I had a dear friend of mine who was a very successful consultant said, you know, there's this new profession that I think you'd be great at. And she said, you can use your business and marketing skills and your people skills and your education and neuro-linguistic programming, you know, which is also the foundation of Tony Robbins' work. He and I studied with the same people in the 80s, and hypnotherapy. And you can work with professionals and help them be happier and more successful. I was like, that's all I needed to hear.
Yeah.
And I searched out what was available in training. And there was one training in the country. And it was three weekends. And it was do and have. Now, by today's standards, that might be just a little bit lacking. After those three weekends, they kind of patted us on the butt and said, all right, go become coaches. And that's just what I did. I'm a speaker, and I started booking myself into all kinds of trade organizations and networking groups. And I spoke about coaching. In the beginning, not knowing exactly what the heck I was talking about, but I started building up a clientele and built up a practice. And what's funny about the master mindset coach, I built myself as a master coach. You know, you do something for more than 25 years.
Yeah.
Hopefully you achieve a certain level of mastery.
Right.
If you're not a hack, you got some mastery.
Right, right.
So I don't have a problem with that part. The mindset coaching is a funny one because I've always worked with people's unconscious minds as well as their conscious mind,
right?
Because 95% of what's going on in here is beneath their conscious level of awareness.
Right.
So if you make a decision with your 5% and you are tugging on the string of that decision, and you've got some belief underneath the surface that's yanking on that 95%. If you've got this versus this,
right,
it's not a big surprise what wins.
Right.
So I've had clients at the Army and Booz Allen Hamilton and Birkenstock, big organizations, and lots of baby entrepreneurs, little startups and CEOs. So what's interesting is I've never known what to call my coaching.
Yeah.
You know, when I was working in corporations, it didn't sound right to say, well, I work with your unconscious mind as well as your conscious. Cause it's like, whoa, she's woo woo. That was, right. That was before brain science.
Right.
And I am deep deeply into brain science. If you really study neuro-linguistic programming, it's science.
Absolutely.
And so I took about a decade off from coaching. Mm-hmm. And when I came back, like a year ago, mm-hmm. It was like, well, how do I position myself? And I was reading on different niches in coaching.
Yeah.
And then I came upon mindset coaching and I went, I've been doing this for 25 years.
Right.
It's a thing. And part of my business right now is dedicated to working with an old client of mine, actually, and friend. He's now the go-to person, the key influencer in the manufacturing segment of both our country and now globally. He's huge.
Yeah.
And so I realized I can actually call myself a mindset coach.
Yeah.
With impunity and talk about brain science and how our minds work without seeming like a total flake.
I love it. And one of the things that I think about you is you're a coach for coaches. And I think that oftentimes we don't recognize the fact that a coach, all of us coaches should have a coach, because even though we're an expert in whatever it is that we do, we still have our blind spots, right?
Absolutely.
And so I needed somebody to tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, sis, you're not noticing this, or this is where you're sabotaging yourself and your decisions, and recognizing the tug of war that I'm going through in my own mind that I can't see. And so those opportunities to coach coaches is such a needed thing. And I think all of us, you know, have to have that resource. And the fact that I think about you as one of those amazing resources in that field.
Well, thank you. I mean, who wouldn't benefit from having a partner in your success?
Right.
Who has broad depth in the ways humans and human brains function.
Right.
And who couldn't benefit from an external point of view?
Right.
When someone is absolutely committed to your well-being and your success and your happiness.
Right. So, and I mean, especially in business, I think that sometimes, especially if you're a business and you are starting a business or you've been in business for a while and you're trying to grow it, not everyone in your circle understands. And so not everybody can be as supportive as sometimes you need them to be. Sometimes people don't get it and they want to protect you. So they aren't, you know, necessarily encouraging you to go around that, you know, right path and that road. And so to have somebody committed to your success that understands and can help you when it gets, you know, low, and celebrate you with you when it gets high, like all of the things that go into that, that's what I've needed. Right?
Absolutely. You know, I'm a lifelong entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I have never done a full-time gig for anybody else. And what I think gives me a unique perspective, mm-hmm. even working with people in corporations, is that today it's imperative to have an entrepreneurial mindset. You know, even if you're working for a large company, mm-hmm. you're on your own a great deal.
Right.
You've got to figure things out. You've got to have that ability to look at a problem that needs a solution from many different perspectives. So while I'm a coach's coach, I work with all kinds of people, you know, mostly women. You know, probably 75% of my client base has been women. Mm-hmm. And the 25% of men have been men who understand the importance of cooperation and collaboration as opposed to competition.
Right. Yeah. No, that's so important. And then I want to get into your story, because I think that that's one of the things that's really fascinated me. I met you, and when I heard that you were a coach from the very beginning of coaching, it piqued my interest, because as you guys might remember, I got my doctorate degree in coaching. And in my research that I had to do to put together my, you know, 250-page manuscript, I had to dive into what is coaching. And so much of it started with the history of what it was. And the fact that you were there from that beginning was so fascinating to me. And so I'm like, I need to get to know this woman. And in our conversations, you kept surprising me, sister. Like, I'm like, you did what? And that happened, and whatever. And so I would love for you to take us down the road that has led you to this space. And I love the fact that here on the Unstuck podcast, we really want to help people get from where they are to where they want to be. And there's so much power in just listening to someone else's story and their path and all of the things that you've learned that have led you to where you are today. So why don't you just start telling us the story of who you are and the lessons that you've learned along the way?
Okay, I'll start as an adult.
Okay.
I can give a brief, you know, I was a lonely only child. And I always lived as I knew I could. I was the girl in school in black who wrote poetry, who I was a singer-songwriter. You know, I started playing nightclubs when I was 16, started writing music when I was 14.
Wow.
And I was the kid without big financial background in Beverly Hills school system. Mm. My parents wanted me to have a good education, which was the best gift they could have given me. Went to UCLA. And while I was at UCLA, working my way through school, because I totally worked my way through school, supported myself. And one of the people on a route where I sold sandwiches and salads in Century City, in one of the big office buildings.
Okay.
One day asked me, how'd you like to go to the Playboy Mansion?
That seems like a really odd, random question from a stranger.
Well, no, he was a young, handsome, too rich guy. And I was young. Just, and
yeah,
hot,
I love it. Love it.
So this was 1975.
Okay.
And I went, and you can read about it in my book. I wrote all about my adventures in the Playboy Mansion called The Playboy Mansion Memoirs.
Okay.
It's under Susan Fiskin.
Okay.
I just scratched the Sue and kept the Zen. And Hefner liked me and invited me back. And before long, I became part of his inner circle. And as strange as it sounds, I was really a feminist in that world, as much as one could be. Hefner had no designs on me personally, so I had more freedom than any woman there. And I had my little black book, and I just navigated those waters on my own. And as I graduated UCLA while I was there,
okay,
in communications,
okay,
and I would meditate every day in the notorious grotto, and kept journals for all that time, which is what I used to write my book. Mm-hmm. And in one of those meditations, I went, wow, I really do need to find a career. And had this flash of inspiration that I could become a photographer. And so it was the 25th Playmate reunion party where I borrowed a Nikon, and I decided it was better to beg for forgiveness than ask permission. And I started taking pictures, and it turned out that I was quite good at it. And within a period of time, his girlfriend at the time took some of my photos to him, and he said, great, let her shoot. And after my Playboy days were over, I started an ad agency in Marin County with a partner. And that's when I first got introduced to NLP. It was the first training center for neurolinguistic programming in the world. And they couldn't figure out why they couldn't get the general population in. Here's the name of the company: the Center for Advanced Studies of Neurolinguistic Programming. Doesn't that make you just want to know what it is they're offering? And it was so full of jargon that I said, give me what you got and let me commit English to it. And so I wrote their ads, I did their marketing, and I became absolutely fascinated with NLP. I'd always been into personal growth and realized that this is the single most powerful technology I could ever encounter.
So in layman's terms then, because there are probably people listening to this that are like, I don't even know what NLP is or neuro-linguistic programming. So why don't you tell the audience a little bit more about what that is?
It's still hard to define. You know, if anybody knows of Tony Robbins, he and I studied with the same people in the 80s. It's a huge body of technology that's based on brain science, mm-hmm. that's based on analyzing how do people that get great results get those results? Mm-hmm. How do people process? For instance, I've done classes on how can you be on a Zoom like this and know what I'm doing with my brain or what you're doing with your brain? Mm-hmm. If you look up, you're making a picture. If you look up to your right, you're imagining something you've never seen. If you look up into your left, you're remembering something you've already seen. Side to side is auditory. Once again, you're imagining it or you've heard it. Mm. Down to the left is a feeling. Down to the right, you're talking to yourself. So there are all kinds of fascinating distinctions that are part of this huge body of work. And at the core of it is something called modeling, which is someone's really good at what they do. Mm-hmm. But we don't know how we're good at what we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's having the skill to be able to analyze what do they say something to themselves? Do they get closer to someone to get rapport? Do they touch them? What's their recipe for success? Mm-hmm. And once you get that,
yeah,
you can then transfer that to somebody else so that they too can get very similar results.
Okay.
The original person. So it's the science of success. If I were to, yeah. Based on subjective experience, so everybody's different. The language we use, mm-hmm. the body language, the actual language. Mm-hmm. So I help people become aware of their own patterns. Mm-hmm. And by becoming aware of our own patterns, okay. We then can develop distinctions that we can notice what's going on with other people in new ways. For instance, you know, if I hear you, you know, people tend to process there. We see, we hear, we feel, and we think, mm-hmm. which shows up in our language.
Right.
I see what you mean. I get the picture for visual.
Right.
I can really wrap my arms around that solution, or that feels really good to me. Mm-hmm. Or I hear you. That sounds great. Or the one that many people forget are the logical people. They're the techno heads. I believe that to be true. I think that is absolutely undeniable. So when you learn to tap into someone else's language and you start to mirror their words, their tonality,
yeah.
their body language, not in a mocking way.
Right, right.
But in a respectful way.
Yeah.
Unconsciously, people like themselves.
Yeah.
So when I can speak your language instead of just my own, so when I can translate my own language into your language, mm-hmm. I've created a bridge that didn't exist before. So that's as close as I can come to describing
it. That's fascinating. That's the best description that I've heard. So I think that's amazing. And you guys, I hope that you enjoyed that description as well. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just felt like that's a gift that you have, right? You were saying that you helped the Neuro-Linguistic Center be able to articulate what it is that they did so that
right.
you know, they could help more people. And then that's where you left off. So I want to make sure that I let you get back on your train.
Okay. As I said before, the stress of the ad agency got to me. I blew out my body.
Yeah.
Did a year on the island of Grenada. And when I came back, my friend told me about coaching. I got into coaching.
Yeah.
So it's been my passion ever since. I mean, I have such joy to be in front of an audience and have people say, I never thought of it like that before.
Yeah.
Or to get feedback. Like I'll give people, pardon me, tips like the ones I just told you about how to establish rapport.
Right.
On job interviews.
Yeah.
right? I've got techniques where I can have someone imagine a circle in front of them and have them stack it with every great quality that they know they're capable of and some they think they might be capable of, step into it, run it through their neurology so that when they need to perform at their best, they are wired for it. And it's a source of tremendous joy for me. I'm here to leave the world a better place because I've been here. And this is the way I do it.
And you also are a hypnotherapist. I want to hear a little bit more about that.
So initially, you know, the reason I got into hypnotherapy is because people have heard of hypnotherapy, whereas NLP has been, I mean, I couldn't imagine a worse name for the most incredible technology. So I initially got into hypnotherapy because I was already working with people's unconscious minds. If I said I did it through hypnotherapy, if they weren't afraid, you know, that I was going to make them bark like a dog or quack like a duck. Like stage hypnotists, that it gave me an opening in conversation that I didn't have afterwards. And I can more overtly have someone do closed eye exercises. You know, people think in hypnotherapy, you're gone. Well, no, it's just a way where I can speak directly to your unconscious mind. You know, I can talk directly to the 95% in addition to the 5. Uncover what's going on in there, because people will almost all, you know, if, once you develop trust, and you help the unconscious mind feel comfortable, it'll talk with you. It'll come out in the open and tell you what's going on. And I can't tell you how many sessions I've had with people where they've got a conscious desire and an unconscious block. And I literally cut a deal where I have one in one hand, one in the other. It was like, what would it take for you, the unconscious mind, to feel comfortable with making this change? And so they literally cut a deal. Well, and I'll ask, would you be willing to do this for the next 90 days? You never take away options, knowing you can always go back to the way it was. And that helps create a safety margin, as well as a union of both sides of our brain. And when we've got both sides of our brain rowing in the same direction, wow, the difference is huge.
I have goosebumps because I can envision that. And I also geek out on brain science and all the same things. Like we have so many of the same interests. And what I want to do next, you guys, is I want to dive into some of Zen's best tips that she has for all of us who want to get our subconscious and our conscious in the same, you know, rowing the same direction, and ways that we can overcome some of the barriers that oftentimes we can find ourselves in. All right, then. So I want to pick your brain, bad joke. I want to pick your brain about ways that we can get people to the place of where they are to where they want to be. So what kind of things would you like for our audience to be contemplating, maybe trying, considering to get them at least in somewhat forward motion?
Okay, so I want everyone to know that this is off the top of my head, right? Michelle said, we're just going to do this impromptu.
Oh yeah, totally. This is the thing though, because I feel like when I am able to get these are the best answers, honestly, because we don't overthink it. Like your gut tells you what are some of the things that have worked really well for you and the people that you've helped? What are some of the most impactful things?
Okay, so here's something that's seemingly simple on the surface that is incredibly powerful underneath. I'll call it language upgrades. Okay, so let me just think of some of the words. All right, this one you may have heard before. It's using the word but, right? You're stringing two sides of a sentence together with but as the conjunction.
Yes.
And so what happens is, I love you, but put down the freaking toilet seat. you know, whatever that winds up being.
Yeah.
Do you feel loved? No, you don't feel loved, right? God, I really want to make my business a six-figure business this year, but I'm really worried about my kids. Mm-hmm. Well, what you've just done is you've negated the first part of the sentence. Mm-hmm. And so a very simple language upgrade is, and I really want to turn my business into six figures this year, and I am worried about my kids. Now, as a coach, what that does, it opens up the door to figuring out how to get both of those sides balanced. Great, let's figure out what it is you need to do to turn your business into that six figures and make sure that you're taking care of your kids. That's one.
That's powerful, by the way. That's really powerful, because what it does is it opens up the mind to possibilities and solutions versus closing us down and cutting us off from our creativity and making us feel helpless. I want this, but I can't have it because of this. And when you say, and it opens up the possibilities of a win-win situation and gets us into problem solving mode. And I love that. That is so simple, but powerful. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. And let me give you another side of that.
Okay.
By the same token, you know that the word but eliminates the first half of the sentence.
Right.
So let's say someone's in a job interview. Mm-hmm. I know Madison is a really fabulous woman, but I have the skills that you will benefit most from. And let me tell you why. So without dissing Madeline, you just negated her. You just took her off the program in your language.
Yeah.
So when you consciously use the word but, you can create that separation that you want to.
You're a master linguist in general, which is why you're so good at advertising too. I'm just going to say that. Like, you have a very unique set of skills that is just fascinating to listen to you and to learn from you. Thank you.
Let me give a couple more.
Okay.
Here's one. So you're working with someone and they've done an okay job, but you really want them to do better.
Okay.
And you might just say, you know, Martha, you really need to do, you need to be better at communicating with your customers. Mm-hmm. How does she feel? It feels like you've just been chastised, right?
Right.
You need to be better.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm not good enough. I gotta be better. Mm-hmm. One four-letter word can change that whole dynamic. Martha, you need to be even better at communicating with your clients. Just the word even, your kids, right? You need to be even better at it. You're good already. And that's what it says. You're already good.
Yeah.
And here's where you can improve, and not but here's what you can improve,
and
here's what you can improve.
Wow, that's powerful.
Just these little words. Now, here's one of my favorites.
Okay.
We do this to ourselves, right? We limit ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've coached hundreds upon hundreds of people on presentation skills, on pulling together what it is they want to say and how long is the presentation and what do you want to leave the audience with. So we know that speaking is one of the greatest fears that people have.
Right.
Right. I mean, it's right up there with death. I mean, I so love to be in front of the room and sharing good information with people. That's just crazy to me.
Yeah.
But I've worked with hundreds of CEOs of high-tech companies, and universally, they are the worst presenters. Hi, my name is Bob, and we make widgets. Part A fits into part B. And, you know, it's like they're into the technology, they're not into the benefits on the other side.
Right.
So I'd have them tell the story of it, but here's what I do with their own self-beliefs. Well, I'm just a lousy speaker, I can't speak in front of an audience. Mm-hmm. Now here's the word, three letters. I can't do that yet. Mm-hmm. Just like and opens up possibilities, mm-hmm. yet blows the doors off of limitations.
Right.
Anything that you truly want to change or that right. you truly want to learn, you can't do it yet. And that word is one of my all-time favorites.
That's really powerful. And I actually didn't even realize that I was using that recently when I was talking to someone. You know, it's easy to get caught into the comparison trap. And I was watching someone create a training, free training at the same week I was doing mine. And they were, you know, getting all of these enrollees. And I'm like, you know, I can't afford right now to spend $10,000 a month on advertising and Facebook to make that happen yet. And it did. It took me to a place where I wasn't getting defeated or comparing myself in a negative way. It was like, it was almost like she was showing me what was possible.
Right.
And allowing me to see what was possible and just acknowledging that I'm just not there yet, but that doesn't mean I won't be. And I think right. that it's really powerful, guys, because I think that there are so many things that we hold ourselves back from. And it's something as simple as a way that we say it or a word that we hear that can completely shift our brain. Okay. What else? What else then?
Okay. I've got one more word that has a great story that goes with it.
Okay.
In doing speaking engagements and helping people elevate their language.
Okay.
I would be pick the biggest, burliest man I could find in an audience.
Okay.
And I'm all of 5'3". So here's this guy towering over me.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with muscle testing, applied kinesiology?
I am, but the audience might not be.
I'll explain it.
Okay.
So the idea is that our unconscious minds can be reflected in our strength. So when you push down on someone's arm, have them say what their name is and they'll be strong. And then you have them say a different name. You know, my name is Madison, strong. My name is Harvey, weak. And so chiropractors use it, various massage therapists, acupuncturists. It's really common knowledge out in the world of alternative therapies.
Right.
So I called these men up and I would try it out and have them say their name and they'd be strong. And I'd have them say a woman's name and they'd be weak. Mm-hmm. I'd have them just hold their strength and they'd be strong. I'd put a packet of sugar in their hand and they'd go weak. So I had them say two sentences and I never had a man say no when I asked, have you ever had to have a contract signed? And they'd go, yes, I have. And so I want you to say two sentences for me. And there's one basic word that shifts. Once again, three letters. Okay. So the first time I'd have them say, I'll have that contract signed for you in the morning. And they'd say that sentence and I could hang a swing off their arm and sit on it, right? And then I'd say, I'll try to have that contract signed in the morning. And they would grow weak like a kitten. Mm-hmm. And they would just be appalled. How could they possibly be that weak that this 5'3" woman could make them that weak with one word?
Right.
That's what the word try does. Try, it's Yoda. There is no try, only do or not do.
Right.
The idea of try presupposes failure. Like try to pick up the pen on your table right now. You can't try. You either do it or you don't do it.
Right.
So I find myself offering that to people without their will or consent. Often, and I'll also throw in the word yet. Right? I can't do that. And I'll go, yet. Now that brings a smile, but the try, not always. I just can't help it. when I watch people shooting themselves in the foot, I sometimes can't hold myself back.
Yeah, because we don't realize that the little things that we're saying are reflecting of the inner beliefs within that 95%. And when we can start to shift it on the outside, then I'm guessing that we can start to reprogram things on the inside into that subconscious part of our brain. Is that right?
Truly. That's absolutely correct. You know, the 5% can influence. You see, okay, so I'll bet you weren't aware of your right big toe until just now.
Okay, yep.
So when we consciously become aware of what was unconscious, mm-hmm. it brings it up to a conscious level, mm-hmm. and then we can do something about it.
Yeah.
We can't change anything we don't recognize.
Right.
But as soon as it gets in our awareness,
yep.
you know, when you make a shift, then go, wow, there I did it again. I did it again. There it is again. And you never know how often these things have shown up in our lives.
Right.
Until you become aware.
Yeah. That's so beautiful. Oh my goodness. I could talk to you all day. We could geek out about so many things. In fact, I think we'll probably just have to have you come back again so we can talk about energy. We can talk about all kinds of cool stuff.
Oh yeah.
But, you know, because we have to, you know, get on with the rest of our day and the audience needs to get on with their day, we're going to wrap this up. Anything that we haven't already mentioned, Zen, that you want to make sure that you throw out to the audience before we wrap up?
You know, in the show notes, I'll put access to the book,
okay.
as well as how to find me later.
Yep.
And I know your audience is going to be filled with uplifting people.
Absolutely.
So if any of y'all want to have a brief conversation with me, you got a question, you got something on your mind, find me and let's talk about it.
That sounds amazing. You guys, will make sure that we have access to all of Zen's stuff inside of the show notes, so it's easy to get to. If you haven't already, make sure that you take a screenshot of our conversation. If you're watching, you know, on YouTube, or if you are listening, just take a screenshot of the show and let people know that you're listening to Zen, because we want to get the word out about her and all of her amazing work that she's done. And so show it in your stories, do all the things that you need to do, share it with a friend so that we can get the word out. We are so glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're here. And Zen, thanks for showing up today and being an inspiration to me and everybody who's listening. I hope that you guys all have an amazing day, and we will be here next week to listen to more of the Unstuck podcast. Bye, everybody.
Thank you, Lachelle. You're wonderful.
Thank you so much for listening to the Unstuck podcast. I'm so grateful to be on this journey with you. And don't forget to check out the show notes if you want to get into my private club, the Better Club, to be able to learn better ways to be better, do better, and have better. So until next time, keep showing up. Let's get unstuck together. Have a great day.